Hour three kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Let's hit some hour three headlines. It became official last hour, but offensive coordinator Bryant Vincent has been named the interim head coach for UAB football. Of course, over the weekend, Bill Clark stepped down. Let's say Bill Clark is Bill Clark, right? Will Clark. Yeah, I got nervous there. Bill Clark stepped down for UAB.
Back problems.
I was going to say, I saw him like cite health. I didn't realize what it was. It was back problems, you said?
Yeah, just back problems have gotten so bad he couldn't coach anymore, which seems weird.
Yeah, I don't know if like a year long of like, I mean, a lifelong of like stress has like caught up to him, or if, you know, maybe he hurt his back doing something. That's, yeah, strange though.
It was just, yeah, it was a really surprising move. I mean, the job that he's done at UAB has been incredibly impressive to revive that football program, mm-hmm. and then not only revive it, but have it towards the top of the Conference USA for several years, put guys in the NFL. I figured pretty much every offseason that he would be a guy eventually that was going to find his way on the radar for some Power 5 jobs. And I mean, everything he did in the years after they got their program back, but before they started playing games to get them ready, was incredibly interesting. There was a wonderful article on it, and he seemed like a great guy. So disappointed to see him not coaching anymore. That upset me.
Yeah, yeah, people liked him. He was a good guy. To keep them, like you said, alive and, you know, build them back was a big accomplishment. All right, Cam, what headlines you got for us?
All right. Fox has confirmed that the USFL will be back again in 2023.
Okay, so did enough to stay alive, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it seems like. So they were started their playoffs up this past weekend, so that season, I guess, is pretty much over, so they will be back next year. I don't think it ended yet. I think I saw the semis were this weekend. I'm assuming the championship is going to be this upcoming weekend then. But
I feel like it's an accomplishment for them to stay alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the TV numbers dipped, but also like stayed, somewhat consistent. It's week one debut, you know, after that happened where people were just curious. Like, it stayed over 1 million viewers from week 2, 3, and 4, dipped to 900,000 week 5, back up to 1.2 million in week 6, and since then has done 830,000, 773,000, 815, 649. So, like, there has been a little bit of a dip or even losing 50% from week 6 to week 10,
mm-hmm.
but you're still over 600,000 viewers, which it's pretty good for sports,
yeah.
You know, with a relative low cost to operate, I would imagine.
Yeah, especially when they're just playing in one city. You know, you don't have to really get all the travel and everything for all the guys if you're just all right there. So, I guess it worked out for them.
We'll see. But as long as, like I said, it's staying alive for another year, so maybe you can develop some storylines, or maybe the XFL just mean people don't care anymore. I don't know. We'll see.
We will see.
Tennessee softball officially welcomes 2 transfers. I'm going to butcher these pronunciations, I believe, but Mackenzie Donahue. You get her from the University of Oklahoma.
Not Donahue?
I don't know, man. D-O-N-I-H-O-O. How would you say it?
I think maybe Donahue.
Okay.
I don't know. That is a weird one.
Mackenzie.
They call her Lou.
Lou. So Donahue. It's going to be Donahue.
That's easier. Yeah.
So she transferred from Oklahoma. Of course, you know, Oklahoma, the juggernaut of college softball.
Yep.
And this girl, you know, started for them and played a lot. So I don't know why she would transfer. I guess maybe she got recruited over. I don't know. But, like, you know, going from
just to come to a great program.
Yeah, maybe she wants to. She's like, hey, I want to, you know, these national championships with Oklahoma are kind of boring. I'd rather get Tennessee back on the map. And then, like, an Italian national team member / I guess Arizona Wildcats. I have no chance of saying this one. Julia, I guess.
Okay.
Kautsianopoulos.
Ah, yes. We'll go with that.
Let me see there. Let me see the name.
KOUTSOYANOPULOS.
Quetzalcoatl. Oh, what? Wow. That yeah. got stuck on my in my mouth.
Julia Katsoyanopoulos is what I'm going with.
Maybe it's Gulia.
Julia Gulia.
No, Julia Koistoyopoulos.
Koistoyopoulos. She transfers here, so, you know, it seems like two pretty good players. And also,
also had Ashley Rogers announce her return.
She did.
Yeah. That's
she did. So, you know, feels like some good news for Tennessee softball.
Love to see it.
Speaking of transfers, LSU baseball.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, they got their fair share of transfers as they are.
We got two guys that Tennessee had their eyes on, or at least you know, kicking the tires on.
They're cleaning up so far as they secured the commitment of freshman phenom Tommy Tanks from NC State, a guy that I think pretty much everyone would assume is going to go back to Florida. Also got Christian Little. The Vanderbilt transfer, the starting pitcher that as a freshman started in the College World Series and was presumed to be a pretty big-time prospect. So LSU baseball landing, you know, a couple big names.
Jeez,
and
so huge,
you know, they look like they should be.
LSU is going to be loaded next year.
They could challenge you for being the number one team in the country preseason, I would think.
Yep. I think they are going to be right there with you.
There's one other.
If they're projected ahead of Tennessee, people will be mad, but they seem like they're going to be really, really good. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, we'll see what happens with Christian Little. He was pretty bad this year. Wasn't like he had built off of his freshman season at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. Apparently had some great troubles there and just some trouble with the coaching staff. But Tommy Tanks obviously hits tanks, and Little is very talented. So, like, if he rediscovers his form.
And LSU still, I think, feels good about their standing with, you know, a couple other potential decent transfers.
Mm-hmm. So, yep, we'll see. We're still waiting on the news for Paul Skeens, right?
Skeens, yes.
Still waiting on him. Has there been an update on that? Do we know?
No, I haven't really seen much else.
I understand that college baseball, like, isn't as big when it comes to coverage, but like I feel like we should have an idea of like when his like commitment date's gonna be, right? When he's gonna announce.
Yeah, I mean I you would think so. They also got LSU did Jack Pineda, a Baylor shortstop that's pretty solid out of the portal.
Jeez, save some for the rest of us.
Yeah, 3 days ago I see updates that Skeens says he's talking to a number of schools but doesn't have a clear-cut number one yet, so I don't know. You know, that's the only update I see on Twitter.
I mean, yeah, I've tried to find any information I can, and I can't find anything on Paul Skeens over the last, like, week.
Okay.
There was one other SEC baseball team that did something notable besides winning a national championship.
I'll miss one.
Like, in terms
title.
Of roster building for next year, and for the life of me, I cannot remember what happened. So I apologize for that.
Okay. Cam, any other headlines?
Yes. We just had the largest Burmese python ever found in Florida.
Yeah, while I was down at Florida, I didn't much like getting that update. Obviously, like, it was closer to like Naples, I think, right? Or where was it found at?
It was, I don't know exactly where, in the Everglades down there.
Okay.
But yeah, they tracked it down. 18 feet long, 215 pounds. Yeah. Quite the specimen. She also was pregnant with 122 eggs, so that wasn't great.
It's nice that we got rid of her, though, before she had the 122. Like, I mean, I know you like animals, but like...
No, they're very bad for the environment down there, because they're not supposed to be there. So
we need to get
them
out of here.
They're destroying that ecosystem a little bit, killing lots of local wildlife that are, you know, used to having their way around that place and stuff like that. Florida's really bad for invasive species, just because
they pay people, right? Like
you get paid for killing those snakes.
It's like $100 a snake, or what is it?
I don't know the exact price, but I do know that they are very fine with you going out there and taking these things out, because they are destroying the ecosystem.
I think it's like $200 a snake.
Okay, How much will Florida pay you for a
They have like designated weekends and days set up where they go do it.
A new $10,000 ultimate grand prize. I don't know.
Yeah, they have like weekends where they advertise.
Python hunters receive
Python hunting weekends.
$8.46 per hour for up to 10 hours per day. They are then, which seems really low, they are then paid $50 for pythons measuring up to 4 feet and an extra $25 for every foot measured above four.
Okay. That makes sense. It's rare you get them this big. Usually they're big when they're like 100 pounds and you're like, okay, that's a big snake. So it's crazy, but this one got all the way up to 215.
So
it said its last meal was a white-tailed deer. That's the kind of stuff they're taking out. Yeah, that's the stuff they're taking out down there. So,
how many feet was it again?
18.
So they got $50 for 4 feet, then what, an extra $25 for an extra 14 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, which, you know, it seems kind of crazy that snake only brings in.
Seven times five.
Yeah, because that would 30. Be quite the hassle of a yeah. catching
no,
in the first place.
$350.
There you go.
Plus
boom.
Another 50 is 400.
Okay.
They got 400 for that snake.
Yeah, for a 212-pound snake. It seems like you should be getting $1,000 for that bad boy.
Yeah.
How much
and those things
time
just,
do you think it took to battle that behemoth?
Oh, they said it took, I don't know how many people they had, but I want to say they said it took like 30 minutes to get into the truck.
Well, there's another.
It was fighting.
There's another $4.17 for their $8.25 an hour that they're getting.
$8.46, but close enough.
But, I think you said it was $8.20.
$8.46.
Oh. So then they really...
Yeah, because it
they
sounds like
$4.23 for that battle.
I'm gonna say that, like, if you kill a 212-pound snake with, I what?
20 minutes to wrestle into the back of the truck. So
and
I guess they
two
caught
of them,
it.
So they have to split.
Oh, it's
it.
Probably more than that.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying like that actually like hunting down there together.
Yeah, but if you're catching that alive, that's a very dangerous game with just two people. Just because
they got it alive.
Well, that's what they're saying. It was like putting up the fight to put it in the back of the truck. So I think they originally captured
what?
It alive.
Why?
I don't
pythons bite you. They don't bite you, right?
They just, they will.
But like they can't.
I don't think they
don't kill you with like, biting you, right?
Pythons
try to choke you, right?
But yeah. Like it takes a lot to get one of those things to bite you, don't it?
Well, when you grab
it's
my tongue,
defending itself. And the worst part about pythons is if a python bites you, their teeth are pointed backwards. So the only way to you can't just
you
like rip them
lower.
Off.
You have to go down lower. You have to go.
Yeah, you basically have to push them deeper into your skin to pull them out. And it's just a very painful bite. And, if they constrict you, they're just pure muscle. Like, you're dead.
I want to say that when I originally read about this, that maybe you got bonuses if they were pregnant as well. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, maybe you got a few bucks per egg. You've been
I
want to
say I thought that was the case, but I might be wrong on that. A 212-pound snake is big.
Yeah, that's massive.
That's a lot. It's a lot of snake. Oof. I'm not seeing anything else for.
I think I'd be good at the python wrestling.
Oh, do you? Do you, Charlie?
I think
if I saw a python, I would run. I wonder, Cam, what do they do if they see a snake? It's like, that thing might not even be over 4 feet. I'm going to let it get a little bigger. Kill a couple more things. Get a little extra more money.
That's maybe what they do. Just feed it yourself at that point.
Oof. So, do they set traps for these, or?
They say the best way for them to find, usually the females like this, is males usually, like, get in groups and, like, search for the females. And the males are smaller and easier to find just because they're out and about a little bit more looking around. So they try to find, like, the males looking for females and basically just, like, follow them to the females and be like, okay. Here's a bigger snake.
Apparently they have, like, hunting competitions, too, once every, like, year.
I believe it.
I guess they have a Florida Python Challenge where you put a team together, and apparently only $10,000 for the ultimate grand prize, which is nice compared to, like, you know, what they're getting otherwise.
Are you guys down?
No.
You want to make a team?
Absolutely
not. I'll make a team.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Do you like animals enough to hunt them?
It's
helping the ecosystem.
They're overpopulating the area and decimating the crops.
They're not supposed
to be there.
You got a freaking
problem with that?
They're wrecking everything.
I don't have any problem with it. I thought Cam might.
No, because he loves animals. He wants to protect them.
I do too,
them.
And we got to get rid of these invasive Burmese pythons.
Yeah, it's for the greater good. All right, we got to look
up
the
ultimate invasive species.
Mr. Environmentalist is a hunter. I hunt quail, Jeremy. overpopulating the region. They're decimating the grubworm population. You got a problem with that?
Oh, boy. Second best movie ever.
Not nearly as much to do with the attire you have on, or really just your general point towards everyone, but sure. Let's go kill some birds. I'm psyched. God. Great movie.
I might have to watch it.
Let's make a team. How many do we need?
I don't know. We'll have to look up, see if there's like a limit.
I'm not in, just for the record.
Bear would be down.
We have to have a boat.
I got tired of seeing the picture.
You can just rent one of those, like
can we rent
the big
one?
Fans, you know?
Do you think that they have one available to rent?
We just get a guy that has one of those big boats with the big fans that fly across the water.
What weapon?
Let's go to break. You guys can figure this out. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, Russell Smith here for Linderman Sports Medicine, the Mid-South leader in stem cell research. Do you suffer from nagging joint pain in your knees, shoulder, or back? Are these...
Or should I say, what are you chuckling about over there, Chuckles?
My boys are just whooping ass right now.
Oh, okay. We'd love to see it.
I'm pumped for them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They've been trying to play for years, but they both played college baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they had a very tight schedule.
Sure.
They were finally able to find a class that they could play in last year, and then COVID canceled it, or 2 years ago, COVID canceled it. They got a refund to play in a different one the following year, and then that one got rained out. So then they got another refund to play in one this year, and they're finally getting to play. They've been training for it, and they're 10 under through 11. And second place is 4 under through 11, so they're really whooping some ass.
Nice.
Both of them have shot better than Steph Curry.
Again, I don't know if that's an accomplishment.
I think it is. Mm-hmm.
Steph
I think
Curry
if I played
is a basketball
better,
player.
Steph Curry's also... like, better than a scratch golfer.
I don't think that's true. Is it?
Yeah.
How confident are you in that?
Incredibly.
Okay.
His handicap is public.
That's what I'm asking. What is his handicap?
It's like point something or whatever.
Wouldn't point something be like he's basically a scratch golfer? Like, what is that? I mean, I don't know if it's like...
Or I think it's like once you get to like plus whatever is when you're... It's like he's barely better than scratch, right?
So plus 2.2 means he is two shots over even, so not a scratch golfer. Is that what that means? Or that
better.
So plus 2.2 means he's better?
I think, yeah. Now I'm confused. But I know like he's better than – I know they've said that he's better than a scratch golfer.
I didn't know if you were a minus one, if that was better being a plus one. I don't really – so plus two means he's better than that, right? No, that can't be, because they say Mark Wahlberg is a plus 14. So, like, if he was a plus 14 golfer, Mark Wahlberg would be, like, a professional, right?
Is that what his public handicap says?
That's what this one website says. Says that Mark Wahlberg is a plus 13.9.
No, I'm talking about Steph Curry.
That's what, per reports, I mean, I'm not, you know, fully looking into it. I just Googled what is Steph Curry's handicap, and it said, per reports, it is plus 2.2.
Okay,
says in 2019.
It's listed here as a zero now, so I guess he's exactly a scratch golfer.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Said 2019 he was a plus 0.1, which I mean imagine is the best he's ever been. I don't know.
Yeah. Right now, yeah, his handicap is zero.
Let's see. Twin Spires.
But he's played in he's played in some golf tournaments and played well.
Yeah, but like those are his pro-ams though, right?
I think he still played well.
Well, man, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if those are the golf tournaments he's played in, right? Like, or like, not like.
Oh no! If I beat Steph Curry, I would.
If I beat
make
Steph Curry,
sure
anything,
that
sure.
Everyone knew about it for the rest of time.
Sure.
But knocking on wood here, it looks like the boys gonna go through the championships. Shout out to two of my five scramble partners.
Nice.
Good job by them.
Kind of guys that we could win the Masters.
Still don't think that's the case.
I feel like this is a point towards my argument that they are 10 under through 11.
Again, it's not the Masters, but sure.
But I think that's still a plus to be like, okay, in a tournament style golf where there is a lot of pressure.
I don't know if I can say. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they feel pressure.
They feel a lot of pressure. They flew out to California for this. Like, they've been training for this for 3 years and like want to win it all and believe that they can win the entire thing.
Sure. but I still don't think that's anywhere comparative to the Masters. But either way,
I think they're about to have the best score out of all the qualifiers.
How many people are
all
playing
all the classics?
How many people are playing in this?
This one, like 50-ish.
Okay.
Looks like, or I guess 50 teams.
Yeah. I thought you said they did a shotgun start, though. How do they do a shotgun start with 50 teams?
I guess that... Oh, yeah,
18 teams, right?
Maybe you're in foursomes?
Okay.
I played a shotgun start...
That makes sense that they do a foursome against two teams.
Yeah,
that,
I played a shotgun start where they had an A and a B at each hole. So, like, shotgun, all the A's go, and then all the B's go with that hole, and then everyone moves on.
Okay. So basically, two teams are playing the hole, or four teams are playing the hole.
Oh, it was teams of four. Yeah, eight people. So it'd be like, you know, the first foursome they hit into the, once they get to the green, the next foursome goes, and it spaces itself out accordingly.
Sure. Okay. I hope your friends win. It looks like they're going to. I mean, if they don't win at this point, it would take a pretty big collapse, right?
Which, God, one of my friends that is an 11 handicap. He's the third best.
Mm-hmm.
He got off to a really hot start, and now he just texted and said he's going to intentionally have some bad shots so he can make sure that his handicap doesn't get too good for the championship.
So are they adjusting scores by handicap?
Yeah.
Oh, this becomes much less impressive then. There's no handicaps in, like, real tournament golf. So, like, they got to start, like, with what does it mean to get to – be affected by your handicap
in a
tournament? Are they getting strokes because of it? Are they getting to shoot from better tee boxes? Like, what does that mean exactly?
So as an 11 handicap, on the 11 hardest holes, he gets a stroke.
Oh.
But at the same time, they've only used his score twice, three times.
Oh.
So they've used his score three times.
This would have been something I feel like you should have led off with at the beginning of talking.
Well, the other friend gets no points.
No, that's understandable.
Because he's
that's fine.
Yeah. And they've
so they're getting like advantages over Steph Curry.
Well, one of them is.
But it's a team event.
Yeah.
Right.
But even without those advantages, they would still have a five-stroke lead.
I don't know. I don't know, Charlie.
Or they would still have a four-stroke lead without those advantages instead of a six-stroke lead.
I don't know, Charlie.
No.
I mean, to me, this became a lot less impressive. Still impressed, still happy for your friends, but I didn't realize they were getting, like, benefited.
Well, again, only one of them is. And
but it's a two-man team. It's 50% of your team's getting an advantage. It's pretty important.
Yeah, but, again, they've only used his score, like, twice.
What do you mean, used his score? I thought you said it was best ball.
Yeah.
Every hole would be using his score, right?
No, best ball.
You're both shooting.
Both
and like,
play your own ball all the way through. Best ball.
What? That's not what best ball means. Best ball.
It is.
I thought best ball mean you all four or two hit shots, and then you select the best shot.
No. That's a scramble. A scramble is that you select the best shot. A best ball, also known as four ball,
you're taking the best score.
Is that you take the best score from the hole. So they both play the hole all the way through.
That seems weird by the name.
It does. I think that I've always thought that seemed backwards, but that is how it works. So they're playing best ball. My other friend is just under par by himself.
Okay.
So like they're not really getting that much of an advantage.
Okay. Yeah, I always thought best ball was like you're using the best shot of the group. I'm not a golfer though, so I guess I wouldn't know that. Either way, winners and losers of the weekend coming up next. Maybe your friends are about to be winning. Not the weekend, but they'll feel like champions.
They're going to be really excited.
Yeah, as they should be. I mean, I didn't realize they were getting like free shots and stuff. But
I got to figure out where the championship is in November. Maybe I'll go.
You should. Winners and losers of the weekend coming up next. All right, it's Monday. It's 2:30-ish. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
Gam, who won this weekend?
All right, my number three winner of the weekend, I gave it to Sydney McLaughlin.
Who the hell is that?
She is a U.S. track star. She broke her own record and broke the world record for the 400-meter hurdles this past weekend at the U.S. Outdoor Track and Field Championships. 51-41 is how fast she jumped over hurdles for a whole track. Breaking her own world record. And just great time for her there. Pretty sweet. Rocking it out. My number two winner of the weekend, I gave it to Ole Miss. Just rocking out, winning your first baseball championship. Good for them. Make some winners. Good for them, I guess. But, yeah, Ole Miss, number two winner of the weekend. And then, yeah, my number one winner of the weekend, I gave it to Stan Cronkite, the Colorado Avalanche Rams owner, just becoming the first owner.
It's Cronky, ain't it? Is it Cronky or Cronkite?
I don't know.
I think it's Cronky.
Probably Cronky. That sounds right. Yeah. That sounds more correct.
There's a. You're thinking of, isn't there a Walter?
Yeah,
Cronky?
I think I combined the two names there.
Yeah, it's Cronky for the.
But he was the first owner to win.
What a despicable
two
person!
Championships.
Everyone hated him after he like dissed St. Louis.
Yeah.
And left them.
Yep.
And now look at him. He's just a three-time champion.
Yep. First guy to win the two major sports championships basically in the same calendar year as an owner. Is what they were saying. So that's big time and pretty impressive. And you...
good for him. I'm glad he got to catch a break.
Yeah, finally, huh? Yeah, finally for him. So he's my number one winner of the weekend.
Did Arsenal end up advancing out of the Premier League or no? I know they flirted.
Advancing in what regard?
They they flirted with the top of the top four, right?
I don't think they've made in the top four.
I thought they flirted with that though for the year for the year though, right?
I'm not like, positive on that though.
I don't. No, they finished fifth, two points out.
Okay, so then they got it into the Euro League though, right?
Yeah, it looks like they finished loss win. So they
because positions passed them. One through four Champions League.
Ooh, that's
position
sucks,
five gets the fifth position gets to go to the Europa.
The same guy owns Arsenal as well.
Guy's got a lot of money.
Yeah, he married. I'm pretty sure he was the guy who married like one of the like Walton daughters too. Like got some.
Was that the Walmart people?
Yeah. So I want to say Stan. Like I said, is the he is the owner of Cronky Sports, which is the holding company of Arsenal. So yeah, I think he owns Arsenal too. What a king. Anyways, good list, Cam. My winners of the weekend. I went with number three, the NBA offseason. I don't know what it says that I find the offseason to be so much more entertaining than most of the regular season. That feels like it should be a problem for the NBA, but at the same time, it just keeps people talking, and the idea of transactions and shuffling up teams is pretty fun, and we've been told to, quote, buckle up for what the Brooklyn Nets are about to do. That's what that's what we were just told by Nets Daily, of course, one of those like SB Nation sites that cover the Nets. Based on conversations this morning, I think that the Nets will be very active soon, and not just on Kyrie. I was told to, quote, buckle up. So, looks like Kyrie's gone. Brian Windhorst is on ESPN saying they're prepared for both of them to go. You got Kyrie Irving on Twitter responding to, like, Barstool Sports. Kyrie Irving destroying every NBA team he has ever been a part of, followed by, like, you know, the Joker walking away from the hospital. To which Kyrie Irving then responds, NBA champion and gold medalist Kyrie Irving. Just thought the statement needed correction as y'all continue to make money off my name and countless others. So we get the content machines fired up in the NBA, the offseason, a big winner, as that's going to be a big discussion. Number two, they won a national championship. Ole Miss, whatever. So stupid. It really is dumb. Will this be the equivalent, I guess, of like the 12 seed winning a national championship in basketball? Like, I guess Syracuse went from like the 12 seed to the Final Four that one year, didn't they? Didn't they go
11?
For like a play-in
game? Yeah, if Syracuse would have won.
I think they were 11 that year.
Either way, but they're in the play-in situation.
They were 12,
well, either way, they're in the play-in game. Sometimes it's 12 seed, sometimes it's an 11 seed. I don't know which one they were.
I couldn't remember.
Because 12 would be against 12 plays 5.
I don't remember that beat, but like sometimes the 12 seed is a play game, sometimes 11. The 11 seed is a play game.
11's on the bottom. They were in the bottom of the bracket on the bottom right side. So, yeah, that'd be the
close,
equivalent of that Syracuse team winning a national championship.
that's unreal, kind of, but yeah, it's just.
Yeah, so stupid, but they won a championship. I guess in basketball, they've gotten close to having a similar run. Mm-hmm. You know, VCU went to the Final Four, I believe, in that same same situation.
Yeah.
Number one, I went with the Avs, but I guess probably better to just make it Stan Kroenke because he's the man here.
Yeah, and he owns all those arenas. Yeah. And jeez. Man's pretty well off right now.
Give me your losers of the weekend, Cam.
All right, my number three loser of the weekend, the black bear that died in Sevierville this weekend. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
It basically accidentally locked itself in the car and died a heat stroke.
Oh, yeah.
broke into a car looking for food, door closed behind it, couldn't get it back open. It was like 95 that day. Cooked that bear in that car.
Was it a big bear, like a cub? Do we know?
It seemed to be about a grown-sized bear. I saw a picture. It definitely wasn't a cub. I don't know how big the bear was. It didn't say in the article.
Bear wasn't smart enough to break the windows?
What an idiot.
I'm not judging. Yeah, I'm just asking.
That's a bear that deserved to die.
Like, yeah, it's got claws and stuff, but I also don't think it's just going to be like banging up against the window until it breaks or something. Yeah. And I don't know.
Can you imagine showing back up to your parked car and finding a dead bear inside?
That's what happened, yeah. They came back like 9 hours later from when they had like left.
So it died that quickly? It died in 9 hours?
Somewhere in there, yeah. So it was definitely like heat stroke, just the car being that hot. So, they basically said they left at 10 in the morning in like a different vehicle and came back at like 6:45 that night to find the bear was.
I would be thinking about that for decades.
Yeah, I wonder if he was would you cry? Would you feel sad, responsible, like?
I think I'd be a little scared that it was just sleeping for a minute.
I would not have been the one that opened the door. I would have called, but I don't know. Maybe it's not fair to judge the bear. I guess I would have assumed
it's fair to judge the bear.
I just would assume they would have been powerful enough to like flip the car over and like or bust out of a door. Like maybe they didn't know.
I don't know. Black bears aren't really that big of bears, so I don't know the size. Like it was.
I think it left like a gross dead bear smell.
Probably not 9 hours.
Didn't smell great.
Not 9 hours. I doubt it. Like rotted.
It probably wasn't a death smell. It was probably just a really hot bear smell.
Bear
smell is probably, still pretty bad.
That's sad. What number was that of your loser?
Number three.
Oh, okay.
All right. My number two.
We had a worse weekend than that. It's hard to have a worse weekend than that bear. He died.
Yeah.
I expect these two to have also died, but just in a worse way.
No, this lady's just a terrible person. Karen Williams, mayor of Redland. In, I think, Australia is where this is. She basically drunk crashed her car into a tree an hour after doing a meeting with, anti-drunk driving advocates because they had, like, kids and stuff that had died in incidents. She had a meeting with those kind of people, immediately gets drunk and crashes her car right after doing that, meeting with those, parents that were, basically... Just telling them about the dangers of drunk driving and things like that. And, so she did that. She crashed, and she's refusing to resign right now, too. They're trying to get her to resign, and she's like, nah, I don't feel like it.
Credit to her for making sure that she really, got through those kids.
Well, no, it was, the parents who have had kids, die in, drunk driving incidents.
You know, she
was who she was talking
made
to.
The example pretty clear. She didn't just talk the talk. She walked the walk. She showed them how dangerous it is to drunk drive.
Yeah, she did. If they didn't realize it the first time, they get it now. She's like, I am deeply regretful for my actions. I made a mistake. I will learn from that mistake and continue to serve my community as I have for the past 18 years. But, yeah.
I mean, I understand her not wanting to resign after 18 years if that's the first big misstep she's had.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say anything about her having other issues.
Didn't we have one guy in Canada, though, right, that was like on cocaine that was a handful of years ago, right? Then he died, so it's not as funny anymore. But didn't they have a Canadian mayor? Yeah, didn't he
He also challenged all the other mayors to a weight loss contest. And then gained 5 pounds and then broke the scale.
What was his name? Was it Mike Ford? Is that right?
I'm not sure.
I want to say it was Mike Ford, politician, cocaine, Republican Ford. Hold on, here we go. Rob Ford. What did I say? Mike Ford? Rob Ford. He admitted And on November 5th, 2013, Ford admitted to smoking crack cocaine, probably in one of my drunken stupors. It's not funny, but just that's a headline there.
Switches Jack and crack.
What did I say? Did I say? I say cocaine, but I guess it's worse. He was on crack.
Well, you know, it depends on who you ask.
No, I don't think it does. was that your number one loser?
No, my number one is My Body, My Choice, people.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Yep. All right, John, who did you have losing this weekend?
Number three. I feel kind of weird after just that last one. Phil Foden's girlfriend. Phil Foden is a kind of a lightning rod for us football fans, as he is a Man City / English national team soccer, young soccer star. Has the platinum hair. Kind of looks like Eminem sometimes.
Yeah.
But he was videoed on the beach having a huge argument with his girlfriend after apparently she went through his phone.
Yep. Tough look.
So Phil Foden, I mean, I guess he was partially a loser because he had to get yelled at while being on the beach. But I called the number three loser his girlfriend just because she went through his phone and probably got her feelings hurt. And he's really, really, really rich, so she's probably used to living a lifestyle of being with a really, really rich guy. So now she has to make the decision, am I going to stay with this really, really rich guy, or am I going to leave and no longer be really, really rich? Because it's not like we're married. It's not like I get to take half.
Yeah.
So either I have to suck it up or I just leave and give up my lifestyle with nothing to show for it.
Yep.
Didn't get to have a baby. Didn't get anything in the divorce. So am I going to be a sucker or am I out? But either way, now we know the situation. So now everyone's judging her. What is she going to do? Number two for me, I went with Sahith Thigela. I think it's how you say his name. I don't know. All I know is he had a chance to win the Travelers Championship this weekend, and then he double bogeyed 18. Xander Schauffele birdied 18, and Sahith finished second, two strokes off the lead after his double bogey. So good time for Xander Schauffele, bad time for Sahith. Thigela, I guess is how you say it. Thigela. I don't know. Which I guess Patrick Cantlay also kind of fell apart. But either way, I went with Sabith as a loser.
Okay, checks out.
That would suck, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He hit a dart on 17, got a birdie out of it, had a one-stroke lead to the final hole, and then, yanked his 18th tee shot, messed up his attempt to get out of the bunker, and double bogey. That's a tough way to lose. My number one loser of the weekend, though, I went with Florida recruiting. I just thought they got made fun of on a national level, and that's hard to come back from. You lose a recruiting battle to your in-state rival, and then they clown you, talk about how stupid you are, and how you don't have your stuff together. That's tough to come back from. I kept politics out of my cam. Maybe you should take a lesson.
Shut up and dribble.
Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Once again, G3HelpMe.com. Cam, you got a story for us?
Yeah. I got too much mayo.
You want to hear it, Charlie?
I like mayo.
Too much mayo. I know,
too
much is a bad thing. I like mayo, too, but too much mayo, and then you feel
icky.
You like
icky. It mixed with ketchup and on a burger?
Mayo. No, if I'm going to get ketchup on a burger, I do it with mustard. I like the ketchup and mustard combo.
I love the mayo ketchup combo on a burger.
The only time I really do a ketchup mustard combo is really when I get like the double stack from Wendy's or like I guess a McDouble from McDonald's. But like if I'm eating a good burger, I just do mayonnaise usually.
Okay.
Well, this
now, mayonnaise and
situation.
Mustard, I think I'm okay with sometimes. Like if I'm eating a sandwich, I'll do. If I'm eating a sandwich at home, like a turkey sandwich or something, I'll do mayonnaise and mustard both. That way I think that helps me kind of keep less mayonnaise on it. That way I can put some mustard. It's a little bit healthier. But I don't like just straight-up mustard sandwiches, so I need a little bit of mayo. Anyways, what's the story?
All right, so this was a bad situation with too much mustard. Too much mayo. Too much mayo. Subway customer arrested after shooting two employees, killing one over too much mayonnaise on their sandwich.
Whoa. Say this again.
Subway customer arrested after shooting two employees, killing one over sandwich with too much mayonnaise.
It must have been. Now, I will say, like, sometimes whenever I would get Subway, they would put way too much mayonnaise on there.
Mm-hmm. You got to be specific.
Well, you just say mayonnaise, and they just really lather it on there, and you're sitting there watching. Was he watching?
Yeah, I assume so, yeah.
I was just...
Didn't he try to complain? Like, we're like, sorry, just take it? Because I feel like they should just be like, okay, we'll wipe some of it off, like, but or did he pick it up?
They didn't describe the situation super well in there, like what went down in the exact moment.
What kind of investigative reporting is that?
I know, like, they're even, like, asking the police, and they didn't describe it super well. Like I say, I don't know if there was any witnesses, really, outside of one of the people's five-year-olds. But... Yeah, so basically, yeah, this guy was not happy with his sandwich and decided to take out his anger on the employees. And don't know if he kept the sandwich. That's also a question. That wasn't reported either.
So do we know what happened? Is it just the mayonnaise? And he's like, hey, take it off. And the guy's like, go to hell. He's like, you're not going to talk to me like that. Because, I mean, I don't want to like stereotype or make any judgment, mm-hmm. but... I feel like on the days I eat Subway, I was always having a bad day. That was kind of like, you know what? I'm out here,
yeah.
out
yeah.
here either having to work or like there's nothing else close or like everything else has been packed or my whole routine's messed
Subway
up.
Subway is the equivalent of is Pepsi okay?
It is. And like you're kind of stuck there though. And like usually there's other options. Like when you go to a restaurant, like, hey, is Pepsi okay? Like there's no other options. So you're like, yeah, I guess. But, like, if you've made it to Subway, like, you've probably already waited, and you're like, okay, this is...
Already down bad.
Something's gone bad for me to pay $13 for this combo for a sandwich that used to be $5. Like, how the hell did this happen?
Yeah.
So, like, he's already, you know, don't push me, I'm close to the edge, right?
I'm
trying not to lose my head. And then, like, all he wanted was a sandwich with not a lot of mayo on it. And those, let's honestly, again, I'm not trying to stereotype, but I feel like if you're working at a Subway, you've probably had a lot of bad days, too.
Yeah,
I very rarely see the Subway workers be like, hey, my pleasure. They're more like... Just get out of here, please, for the love of God. This is so crowded and people are so mean. And like, yes, the smell of bread is nice sometimes, but I'm so overwhelmed at the smell of bread. So please, just stop. And like, you're really just dealing with two people there at the end of the ropes, I feel like.
Oh, for sure. It was a tense situation. They were probably both willing to argue in that moment.
And I guess willing to die
had a gun, yeah.
I guess willing to kill and be killed over it. Because I simply would have been like, okay, I'll wipe some mayonnaise off, bro.
Yeah, for sure. You guys remember that Subway on the strip? You was by like the Domino's.
Yeah, but I never went there.
I used to work at that Domino's, and at night they would only have one person working at that Subway. They got robbed all the time.
Yeah,
literally, somebody just walk in and they'd run over to the Domino's like, "Oh, we just got robbed again!" And we're just like, "Oh man, that sucks."
At a certain point, like I feel like the workers are probably setting it up. If you get robbed like five times, either they know you're a mark or you're just like, hey, I don't care. Just take whatever. Just don't kill me. I don't care.
Yeah, there never was a shooting. They just always
then maybe
get robbed at gunpoint and been running over and telling us about it.
Then maybe you tell your friends, hey, just there's a couple $100 here. Come rob me.
Yeah.
I need a little bonus. Come
like
rob me.
Cut, but, yeah.
I'm not dying over it.
No way.
So just come get it.
Ain't no way.
Anyways. Well,
just careful with the mayonnaise.
Eat some mayonnaise in this guy's honor, I guess. The drive's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.